Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
No, I'm not for sale.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Colts, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley, and thank you guys for joining me for this Friday, ending up your week with Locked On Colts. We've got the Locked On Mock, picks 9 through 16, coming up here shortly. But first, we're going to go through the Colts 2017 schedule that was just released and kind of touch on the most interesting games here and kind of look at what we're expecting to see as we go through here. But let's look at it real quick while we're talking about it. And, you know, week one, they're going to be going to the Rams Sunday, September 10th. It's already a 4:05 game right there, 4:05 start time. Colts have not done well outside of the 1 o'clock window, as far as I can remember, in the past couple years. This will be interesting with going to LA and, you know, kind of touching on Todd Gurley, getting in there with their new quarterback. I'm just not thinking that the Colts should have a ton of trouble with this. This is a situation where we wonder if Andrew Luck will be there for this game. And, you know, maybe he will, maybe he won't. But this is a team that the Colts need to beat. The last time that the Colts played the AFC or the NFC West, they lost to the Cardinals. They lost bad to the Rams at home. But they beat the 49ers, and they had a fantastic win against the Seahawks in Lucas Oil Stadium. But they could have easily lost, the other two games. They were both pretty close games. The Colts played real well against the 49ers, though, when they beat them in San Fran. But it just was a game, at least against Seattle here at home, where you thought the Colts were kind of done at one point. And the Colts were led back, obviously, by none other than Andrew Luck. So it was a fantastic game. I was there personally. It was right near my birthday at the time. But, you know, the Colts owe the Rams quite a bit, you know what I mean? So we'll see what happens. That'll be interesting with kind of their new face, their new coaching staff and stuff like that. But it'll be interesting to see the Colts in L.A. at 4:05 on opening week. It'd be interesting. Their week two is at home against the Cardinals. This will be nice. It'd be Bruce Arians coming back into town, seeing the Colts. You know, it'd be a nice little homecoming for them. The exciting part about this is to see which of these teams really has kind of a knockout draft, because they both need it. Cardinals need it because they were cap strapped through free agency for the most part. The Colts are rebuilding. So this will be a really cool matchup as far as I'm concerned. It'd be nice to see David Johnson. I'd love to see the Colts kind of pick apart Carson Palmer the way they did Peyton Manning when he came back to Lucas Oil Stadium. This is a game I'm really excited to see, to be quite honest with you. And to be honest with you, there's about four or five of these games in Lucas Oil Stadium this year that I'm going to do everything I can to get into and see what's going on. They host the Browns in week three, Sunday, September 24th. That's a 1 o'clock game as well. This is, you know, going to be fantastic for Colts fans, because they're going to be able to see more than likely Myles Garrett and kind of see what he's made of. For the Browns. So this will be fun to watch as well, although this should be, by all accounts, and I do not care who is at quarterback, they should rout the Browns. I mean, if they don't, then we may be doing something similar to what we talked about recently this past few months, I guess, would be better that, if the Colts don't start hot, regardless who's at quarterback, Pagano's job could be in trouble. So the Browns and the Rams and the Cardinals, they should be at a minimum 2-1 in that. They could possibly be in 3-0. It just really depends, and it's all going to be on the shoulders of this offensive line and Andrew Luck at this point throughout. Week four, they travel to the Seahawks. This will be another fantastic matchup against Russell Wilson for Andrew Luck. this is a game that I wish we'd see more of. I wish that these two guys were in the same division, at least in the same conference, and they're not. And that's what is really kind of disparaging about these two, because they're both drafted in the same draft. Obviously, Luck was number one overall. Russell was definitely not a first-round pick, but has come back and has shown that he can be a reliable quarterback in the NFL, and that's something that is going to be really fun to watch. Traveling to Seattle has not worked out well for teams in the recent past. The Colts are going to have their handful for sure in Week 4. Week 5, the Colts host the 49ers. Frank Gore will be, you know, welcoming in his former team to Lucas Oil Stadium. This should be a win for the Colts. I mean, we're not going to I'm not necessarily predicting, but I'm just kind of stating what I would assume would be the obvious right here. It'll be interesting to see their new coaching staff and what they've done with the organization, with the players and the talent around them. A lot of these games are really good this year. I mean, this is going to be a fun year to watch the Colts play, because they're playing against some fun teams to watch, that's for sure. Week 6, they'll start their AFC South schedule with traveling to the Titans. This is going to be another pivotal game. The Colts have played pretty well at Tennessee, and this will be just the jump to the AFC South, because the next week in Week 7, they're going to be hosting the Jaguars Sunday, October 22nd. The Colts don't ever seem to have it easy against the Jaguars. It'll be I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with their quarterback position, whether they draft a guy at 4, maybe the second round, if there's some of the better quarterbacks still available, if they're going to try and actually, you know, push Bowles and, you know, whatever they're going to do with him. I think that's going to be a really cool game, not to mention all the talent they've added on defense. So that could, you know, depending on how the Jaguars start out in the first 6 weeks of the season, that could be, you know, one of the better games of the year, to be quite honest with you. We don't know what the Jaguars are going to have. They've had talent in the past, and they've done nothing with it. I would like to see if they could maybe put something together and build up this AFC South of talent, and be nice to see that. Week 8, the Colts travel to the Bengals. Week 9, the Colts will travel to the Texans. All these AFC South games this year are going to be interesting because of the talent that I think that they're going to be able to bring in through the draft. Always going to keep your eyes on the divisional games, because that's what's most interesting and that's what's most important, especially to your team as far as playoff contention and everything else. The tertiary games are games they need to win. And the Colts, with them playing the NFC West, is going to be a difficult year. So, like I said, with the expectations being tempered already, and then the teams that the Colts are going to have to match up against, not only do they need to sweep their division, they've got to really play like they're the king of the division. The Colts will host the Steelers in Week 10. The Colts will have a bye in Week 11. They'll host the Titans in Week 12. They'll go back to the Jaguars in Week 13. That'll be interesting as well, like I said. Then they'll go to the Bills. They've got some new head coaching there with Sean McDermott. That'll be interesting to see how he's kind of reworked it. They'll host the Broncos in Week 15. This will be fun seeing if Simeon is sort of a quarterback at all, to be honest. And then, you know, in Week 16, the Colts will go to the Ravens. Chuck Pagano going back to his home team, more or less, at least his most recent team before now, and Ted Monachino as well, for that matter. And then the Colts will end the season in Week 17 hosting the Texans. This would be a nice game for the Colts to get a little bit of get back for that blown win earlier in the season, where the Colts gave up some 15 odd points or whatever it was in just like 6.5 minutes. That's something the Colts can't afford to do. They need to really blow the doors off the Texans, but the Texans are going to be good this year. If they get any sort of a quarterback who can be consistent at all, if he can just manage the game, whoever it is, and have maybe a couple splash plays throughout the season, the Texans are going to be hard to beat. So without further ado, guys, let's jump in. Let's go in through our Locked On mock draft here, and let's start with the number 9 pick, and we'll go through the 16th pick. With our Indianapolis Colts finishing up the episode. And making that pick for the Cincinnati Bengals is James Rapine. You guys can catch him on Twitter at James Rapine. James, what's going on, my man?
Not much, man. How are you?
Good. Let's see if we can get this bad boy going now. So the Bengals, you know, coming in here, there's a lot of guys that are off the board right now, but there's still plenty of talent left out there. And the Bengals, their needs this year in the draft are pretty obvious for the most part, but they've got a lot of guys that they can build on or build off of, and they have a lot of opportunities here to really kind of get what they've lost in the past couple years back. So what's your thought process going in here? What's the kind of a couple areas of need that you're looking at, and then maybe a couple prospects?
Well, you're right. I mean, they're 6-9-1, and they're in desperate need of a youth movement. Get some young, talented players in. And they have a bunch of needs, starting with defensive end, pass rushers is certainly something they need to address. Wide receiver, Marvin Jones left last year in free agency. They have yet to find a guy to replace him on the outside to be that kind of speed threat that Andy Dalton needs. So but there's a bunch of different areas to look at. Running back is another need. Offensive line, something a lot of fans are worried about, and rightfully so, with the departures of Andrew Whitworth and Kevin Zeitler in free agency. So if you look at this draft, and with the 9th pick, the Bengals need to find someone that can, one, have an impact as a rookie, two, at least project to be a Pro Bowl, All-Pro type player. And I think looking at the board and how this mock draft has played out, I think they could do that if this is how the actual draft plays out in 10 days. So it'll be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And like you said, you know, Davis is a guy right there that you thought might be landing with you, but he's not. Is that affecting your thought process here as far as who you're looking to pick?
Maybe a little bit. I think Davis is the best route runner in the draft, and he could bring something the Bengals haven't had in a really long time. He could be better than Marvin Jones. Mm-hmm. He could be that guy on the outside that the Bengals haven't had really in a long time, opposite of a Pro Bowl wide receiver. They had Chad Johnson and T.J. Hushmanzada years ago, but T.J. was more of a slot wide receiver. So Davis being off the board hurts, but it's something that, at least myself, I still find a guy there, look at the board, and see a guy that could certainly help right away and make an impact and projects to be a really good player in the future.
So who are you looking at here? What's your first thought?
You want the pick?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. So I think if it was me, I would take John Ross, the wide receiver out of Washington.
Nice.
And a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, his injury history. But ultimately, he had a bunch of injuries, and he had a huge season last year. He ran a 4.22 at the combine, but he's more than just a speedster. He can run a bunch of different routes. And every draft analyst I've talked to thinks he's a much better route runner than a DeSean Jackson type. He keeps getting compared to DeSean Jackson, but John Ross can be more than that. The only concern about him is the injuries. But at 9, looking at what they need, I think he's the best player and projects to be a future star in the NFL moving forward.
I love the pick. I mean, two of these guys, you know, I wouldn't necessarily have guessed that both Davis and Ross would be top 10 picks. But you know what? Like you said, you know what you need and you need it. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. Plus, he's one of the best picks on there. Do you feel like you may have overstruck a little bit, possibly, you know, giving up a great player for a good player? Or do you think Ross falls in that great category or possibility to be great anyways?
I think he has the potential to certainly be great. And you look at the other players there, the Derek Barnett from Tennessee. That's a player I've mocked to the Bengals multiple times. I think if they're in this situation and he's there at 9, that's who they do take. But in my opinion, they should go after a guy that has the potential to be great. John Ross is that, has that potential, and now it's just about them getting him in here. It would be about them getting him into Cincinnati and developing him and getting him to that level. So it's a guy who can help you right away as a returner. I think he would instantly be able to play on the outside, whether it's 20 to 25 snaps a game, and give the Bengals something they missed last season when they missed the playoffs for the first time in 6 years.
I love the pick. I absolutely love it. James, anything that you're wanting to plug tonight or anything like that? What you got going on?
I got a bunch of stuff as far as the Locked On Bengals podcast. We're going to do draft heavy from basically now until the draft. A ton of analysts lined up for next week, including Dave Lapham, who's the best during draft week if you follow the Bengals or if you're a Bengals fan. So that, and then you can follow me on Twitter at James Erpine, and I'll tweet out a bunch of stuff from my blog at ESPN1530.com as well.
Absolutely. All right, man. Well, thank you for the pick. Appreciate you getting on tonight, everybody. Now we have John Ross off the board, and the Buffalo Bills are on the clock. And making that pick for the Buffalo Bills at number 10 is Steven Letizia. Steven, what is going on, man?
Not too much.
You're sitting here at number 10. There's still pretty much a ton of talent still left out there. You could basically go in any direction you want. You guys can catch Steven on Twitter at Steven, StephenLetizia. So, Steven, what are you thinking here, man?
Well, like you said, I can go in a bunch of different ways here. There's still a lot of talent on the board. The three biggest needs I have for the Bills right now are quarterback, wide receiver, and cornerback. Mm-hmm. So Lattimore, in terms of quarterback, is already gone, but there's still Gary and Conley I can go with. Quarterback, you know, there's still Mitch Trubisky, Deshaun Watson. I could even possibly go Pat Mahomes, but I think that's a little too high for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also thinking possibly O.J. Howard from the tight end.
Yeah, that'd be a
Charles
nice Clay
one. Has been kind of a disappointment in Buffalo. He's probably the highest rated player I have available still. But I think I'm going to have to go with Mitch Trubisky. The owner of the Bills is going to private workouts for quarterbacks, and that's not just a smokescreen. So I think I'm going to have to go with Mitch Trubisky here. I think he's the best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah.
Some people might say Deshaun Watson, but I think Mitch Trubisky is the way to go.
I think you've really got a coin flip almost between those two. I really do. I think they're going to bring totally different things to each, whatever team they decide to go with or whatever team decides to take them. But I really think that they're both going to be pretty successful. I truly do. I don't necessarily think they're both going to be, superstars or anything like that in the league, but I think that they both are definitely going to be pretty good quarterbacks. So, I mean, another one here. I wasn't expecting you to go quarterback here. I just wasn't. You know, when you got Tyrod there, and now we got Mitch Trubisky basically hunting down his heels. That's interesting to me. What made you go quarterback over one of the other needs?
Well, I just think they're not sold on Tyrod Taylor. That's pretty obvious based on what they did early in the offseason, restructuring his contract. And I just think Mitch Trubisky is going to be a really great quarterback in the league. So if you do think he's going to be an above-average quarterback, why not take him at 10? And I don't think they're sold on Tyrod Taylor at all. I actually really like Tyrod Taylor. I would probably keep Tyrod Taylor, but if I'm drafting for the Bills, I think Mitch Trubisky has tons of upside.
Yeah, I totally agree. So now we got Mitch Trubisky off there. Is there anything that you wanted to plug or anything that you're doing tonight?
No, I think that's it. Thanks for having me. It was tons of fun. So yeah, I just look forward to listening to the podcast.
Absolutely. It's going to be great. Thank you for doing this, Steven. It was a good job. Great pick there. Guys, we got Mitch Trubisky now off the board, and now the New Orleans Saints are on the clock. And making that pick for the New Orleans Saints is Austin Polanco. You guys can catch him on Twitter at the Lax King Kobe on Twitter. What is going on, man?
Not much.
What are you thinking here for the New Orleans Saints?
I'm thinking Deshaun Kizer from Notre Dame.
Ooh, that's interesting. Why?
Well, Drew Brees is getting up there, so you got to give it a year, and they have a lot of potential in the long run because they have a lot of top picks in the draft, past drafts, this draft, future drafts.
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking that quarterback in this one is the way to go as opposed to maybe touching on one of those edge rushers or one of the inside linebackers or anything defensive? I mean, because the Saints have struggled defensively for so long. I'm curious. That's a really interesting pick. It's not only a good pick, but it's interesting. It just kind of blew me away right there that you went with a quarterback.
Yeah, because you got to take quarterbacks early because there's a lot of teams, they reach real high for quarterbacks. It's a deep draft defensively, so you can wait for the later picks. They have a lot of high picks anyway, so you can get a good playmaker late in the draft.
Yeah, and you've got another pick coming up towards the end of the draft as well.
At 32.
Yeah, so that's not a bad draft strategy at all. Really interesting. I love how this is shaking out already. Well, that's a great pick, man. Deshaun Kizer is now off the board, guys, and now the Cleveland Browns are back on the clock at number 12. And back to make that number 12 overall selection for the Cleveland Browns, we got my guy Stuart Tomlin on the line. What is up, Stuart? You're back.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, man. So what you thinking now? A couple quarterbacks just come off the board. How about that? That's a little strange.
Yeah, that has made things a lot more difficult here. I was preparing to take Trubisky, and then he goes off the board at 10. So that's left me pretty much looking at the backup plan.
Mm-hmm. So what do you got here? I mean, you know that the Cleveland's deficient in a lot of different areas. They do need that quarterback, but man, with two quarterbacks coming off the board, bang one and two, I mean, you do still have Deshaun Watson on the board, but you've got a ton of talent left on the board defensively, some other offensive pieces that you could add as well. What's your thought process right now?
Well, to be honest, the biggest need, apart from Myles Garrett, is that quarterback position. Because they have got that giant jersey with about 25 quarterbacks since Tim Couch. So to be honest, I reckon I am going to go with that and add to that list.
Here we go.
Yep, here we go. I'm just making my final call here.
All right. Yeah. Talk with your GM and talk with your head coach and make sure putting it in,
the cards in. And with the 12th overall pick, the Cleveland Browns select Deshaun Watson, quarterback Clemson.
Oh boy. I love it. This thing's getting better as we go. I'm having more fun here with these last few picks than I have in a while. So that's fantastic.
I'm not gonna lie, I wanted Trubisky, but he's gone, so
I think that these guys, all their upsides are really very similar. I really do. I think that Watson's going to be a great player. I don't think he's anything like Trubisky, and I don't think Deshaun Kizer's like either of the other two either. But I think they all have like immense upside as far as I'm concerned.
There's no Andrew Luck here in this draft, but at the same time, you can still get a good quarterback, a good NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm. My biggest issues with of those three is, you know, you got Trubisky going to the Bills, who doesn't develop quarterbacks. Then you got Kizer going to the Saints, where he could feasibly develop underneath Drew Brees for a year or two. That could be the best possible scenario right there. Plus, he's got another first round pick later on in the draft. So I kind of like the Deshaun Kizer pick there to New Orleans. And Deshaun Watson, like you said, that's an immense need. And I think that he can start day one. But man, do they really want to in Cleveland to do that?
Well, that's true. The Browns need someone, though, that is a day one quarterback.
You're right. Now we've got three quarterbacks. We got a run on quarterbacks, folks, here. Deshaun Watson is now off the board to the Cleveland Browns with the number 12 overall pick, and the Arizona Cardinals are now on the clock. And making that pick for the Arizona Cardinals tonight, we got Griffin Foxworthy. You guys can catch him on Twitter at Fox Swag 49. What's going on, Griffin?
I'm doing well. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for taking part in this. This is so far, it's been a lot of fun. We've got some really interesting picks, you know, lately. So it does not fail to surprise at all. When we've got a run of three quarterbacks going in the last three, 10, 11, and 12, I don't even know if I could be more surprised right now. So what are you thinking for the Arizona Cardinals here at 13?
Well, Matt, to be honest, I'm kind of thinking of going for a defensive back for the Arizona Cardinals. With the loss of Tony Jefferson and Marcus Cooper, I think that that's one position of need. On the other hand, Carson Palmer's getting kind of old, and I think that they could use a quarterback to fill that gap. However, I think that Carson Palmer has at least a couple more years in him, if not one more year at least. So if I had to pick anyone, I'm going to stick with defensive back. And I think that Malik Hooker would fit perfectly in that old spot with Tony Jefferson where.
Yeah, that's that's phenomenal. First of all, I can't believe he's on the board still right here. And that is a fantastic pick for the Arizona Cardinals. They need that.
Absolutely. You know, Honey Badger, and I think Malik Hooker kind of growing into a role and witnessing such great veteranship, or, you know, just the vets in the secondary would be really good for him. So,
oh, absolutely. Yeah, there, you know, and that Tony Jefferson loss can't be underestimated. He was a great leadership and great player on the back end, guy who really grew into his role. And now you're getting, I mean, I personally think Malik Hooker is the best safety in this draft. And you're getting him at 13. I mean, this is blowing my mind here. That's a fantastic pick. There's not anybody in Arizona who's not loving you for that right now. That's for sure. So we got Malik Hooker going to the Arizona Cardinals at number 13 overall, and the Philadelphia Eagles are now on the clock. And making that pick for the Philadelphia Eagles, we've got Bruce Colosi. You guys can catch him on Twitter at 21Nixon2020. Bruce, what's going on, man?
Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for doing this. It's a lot of fun so far. As you can see, a lot of interesting picks up to this point. We actually went through three quarterbacks and three straight picks. Finally, Malik Hooker come off the board at 13 to the Arizona Cardinals now. What are you thinking for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, I was looking at some wide receivers. I was a little surprised Corey Davis came off the board. We still got Mike Williams there, but I'm going to go with the local guy, the linebacker from Temple, Hassan Reddick.
Oh, I like that pick. You know, I like that pick, but I don't like that pick because that is the guy that I was planning on the Colts taking, to be quite honest with you. I thought really? For sure that the Colts were going to be able to land him in this. I wasn't sure if the Colts would actually get him in this mock or not, but I think that that's a pretty realistic pick for both of these because I think that the Eagles need him for his diversity along that defense in the front seven, but I think the Colts do too. So I think that really these are the two teams here. If for some reason he doesn't go any further or any earlier than that, I think these are the two teams that are looking both at running back and Hassan Reddick. So,
well, I know Eagles want corners, but I think they're going to wait for the second round for the corner with the top guys going.
Yeah, that's probably true. So what was your was there anybody else that you were even considering for this pick?
Well, like I said, I was thinking Mike Williams possibly, but I'm a big Corey Davis fan. If he was there, I think I would have gone with Corey Davis. I think he's the best receiver in the group, but with him not there, I couldn't pass on Reddick. I think he's going to be excellent. And I think he's going to be an outside linebacker, actually.
Do you really? Yeah, I think there's a lot of people projecting him to the inside to be an off-the-ball guy, but I agree with you. I think that he, if nothing else, he's a guy that can play multiple positions along in sub-package fronts and stuff like that.
Right.
So it would be really interesting to see what he offers, too. So, but thank you, man, Bruce. I appreciate you jumping on tonight.
Thanks, a lot of fun. Good luck with the Colts.
Absolutely. Thank you. And now the Indianapolis Colts are on the clock at number 15. And making that pick for the Indianapolis Colts at 15th, we got Bobby Jefferson. You guys can catch him on Twitter at Camp Jefferson. Bobby, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Glad to have you on here. Glad to have you picking for our Colts here. Interesting. I've been kind of rubbing my hands together over the past 24 hours or so to see what we're going to do, what we're going to end up with here. There's been some strange activity in this draft so far. Three quarterbacks going going three in a row there. Mitch Trubisky, Kaiser, and Watson all went back-to-back-to-back at one point in this draft. And there's a ton of talent still left on the board. So knowing that we know and you know what the Colts' vast amount of needs are, what's your thought process real quick going into this?
Yeah, seeing that board drop the way it did with those quarterbacks, shocking, not really, because we know someone's going to take a run of them. But, you know, looking at the Colts, the need is, you know, just about everywhere on defense. You could plug and play just about anywhere and not really be upset. But, you know, the guys that I was in love with, you know, I'm in love with, you know, Reuben Foster. But the shoulder that's coming out now, you know, all the, you know, the injury news coming out about the shoulder and possibly having rotator cuff surgery again, that scares me, because what the Colts need right now is a guy that's going to come in and compete day one and possibly be on the field as a starter, if not in the rotation heavy come September. So, you know, that for me, that took him off the board at 15, because like I said, at 15, we've got to go somewhere that's going to be impactful early. Marlon Humphrey, cornerback out of Alabama, is another guy that I was high on, really liked him. But I think because the draft, is so deep at cornerback position, I think you can come back in a later round, second round, if you know, earlier, you know, and get a guy there. So, you know, my pick, you know, I'm going with Derek Barnett.
Boom.
Outside linebacker, you know, defensive end out of Tennessee. You put on the tape and you just say, wow, you know, he's a bigger guy. He's a thicker build guy. His hands are violent. You know, he moves fairly well. And I think he's a guy you just can't, you know, you can't overlook what he did in, you know, in the SEC, you know, with the sack record that he has at Tennessee and the leadership, you know, qualities that he has that you're hearing from other coaches and scouts and his own teammates. I think that's a guy that you put in, you know, you bring him in and you just let him fight, let him scrap day one, and he's a guy that's going to be there week one, you know, contributing for our football team. So I'm excited about that, and if he's there, I would turn that card in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. I mean, and you know what, I think we even talked about this on Twitter a little bit, guys that are heavy production guys that you don't necessarily see something pop on tape or something like that, you know, are the ones that, you know, we've seen get drafted by Grigson in the past. We've seen some of that happen. But when you've got a guy that's as productive as Barnett, but you're watching his tape and you see him popping on there, you put those two things together. I don't know what more you want from a prospect, especially at this point in the draft.
Absolutely, because he's a guy that, you know, in a Grigson world would probably not be high on the board because he didn't test well.
Right.
And, you know, Grigson was more into what they looked like in shorts and how fast they ran as opposed to the tape. And we can go back and, you know, talk forever as far as some of the picks that we've had, you know, under him that had that same trait. But like you said, you pop on that tape, any tape, and it's not a lack of production against smaller schools before they start playing the SEC schedule. You can look at Alabama, you can look at Arkansas, you can look at Florida. He showed up in those games, and mm-hmm. he got to the quarterback, he disrupted the backfield, he rerouted running backs, and you know, he's a guy that it translates. Everything that you like that you see on tape, it translates to the game. And you know, I like the pick, and I really hope that if it comes down to that, I would be very comfortable with that pick going forward.
Absolutely. I love the pick too, man. Good job. Way to represent our Indianapolis Colts. That's as solid as it gets right there. Fantastic job. And now Derek Barnett is off the board, and now the Baltimore Ravens are on the clock. And making that pick for the Baltimore Ravens, we got Tony Lombardi. Tony, what's going on, man?
How are you, Matt?
I'm doing great. You guys can catch Tony at RSR Lombardi on Twitter. Tony, we've had an interesting draft up to this point. I mean, a couple, you know, we've got a corner, a couple safeties off the board. Three quarterbacks went in a row. We've had a couple of guys come off that were real interesting, I think, to a lot of people with Hassan Reddick and Derek Barnett in the last two picks. What are you thinking right now for the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, it seems like this time every year, the Ravens focus on three positions, and probably it's because they really haven't addressed them adequately in previous drafts over the past few years. And those positions are edge rusher, wide receiver, and corner. Mm-hmm. Ozzie Newsome's a big fan of having a lot of corners because he says you can never have enough good ones. But in the past few years, the Ravens have had a lot of injuries in their secondary. They've added some guys this offseason in Brandon Carr, and they've got Jimmy Smith coming back healthy. Tavon Young, rookie last year out of Temple, did a nice job in the slot. They brought Ladarius Webb back on the cheap as a depth addition. And they've got Brandon Carr, as I said, and the other big addition in the secondary is Tony Jefferson. So I thought that given that investment in the secondary to improve there, that the next best friend or the best friend for a secondary is a good pass rush. And the Ravens lacked that down the stretch in games last year. They gave up a lot of fourth quarter leads and ended up losing some of those games. And I think that a guy on the edge would be a perfect add to the Ravens. But the guy that the Ravens really wanted just came off the board, Derek Barnett, mm-hmm. out of Tennessee. So he's a guy that I would have jumped on immediately. So that brings it back to the wide receiver and corner position. And typically the Ravens, if they're looking at those three positions, they're going to populate their board with guys who are the best athletes and probably take them at those positions. Now, when I look at the board now, a guy that jumps off the page at me, and this is a player that Ravens fans really seem to covet, is Mike Williams out of Clemson, the wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got personally some concerns with Mike Williams and his ability to get separation. I don't think he's a real refined route runner. I think a lot of his success at the collegiate level has been making contested catches. And that separation, if you can't get it in college, you're not going to get it in the pros. And contested catches are a little bit harder to come by in the pros because you're going up against better athletes.
Good point.
Plus, he's not that precise route runner, not a real burner. So it brings me back to something that Ozzie Newsome is always focused on, and that is best available athlete, best player on the board. So I don't think Mike Williams is that guy. I think Reuben Foster could tempt Ozzie because, you know, he's from Alabama and Ozzie has great ties with Saban and all those guys down there. He's been oftentimes rumored to be the next AD down at Alabama. So he's got strong ties to Alabama. But I'm going to focus on another Alabama guy who I think is the best player on the board at this time, and that's O.J. Howard.
Oh, I thought you were going to hit me with Tim Williams. I really did.
No, O.J. Howard is a fantastic athlete. He's a guy who's a 6'6". Like I said, has great athleticism. He's got a huge catch radius. He's a guy who's pretty good after he catches the ball. And he's actually faster than Mike Williams. And I don't know that Lane Kiffin really knew how to use him down there at Alabama, and it's maybe why it's one of the reasons why he's not there anymore. But I think that O.J. Howard is just he's a freakish kind of athlete who I think will be a better pro than he was at college. And as a result, you know, I think he's a guy that they could flank outside of the numbers. He's a guy that can put in motion and bring inside the numbers. And I think they can create mismatches with him with safeties and linebackers. And he becomes, to me, a more lethal weapon than Mike Williams would be. And like I said, I think he's the best guy on the board. And also, he's another Alabama alum that Ozzie seems to love. So the pick for the Ravens, a surprise pick because they do have some depth at tight end, but he's the best guy on the board. I think it's hard to lay off of O.J. Howard.
Yeah, I agree. I love that pick. Howard is a guy that I was literally getting ready to kind of have a little aside in the middle of this draft here, saying that I cannot believe he's still on the board. You know, I mean, and then like you started talking about the guys that are best available athletes on the board and stuff, and because you were prefacing it with some pass rush and stuff like that, I thought for sure you were going Tim Williams, and I was like, oh, here he goes. And then you hit with O.J. Howard. That's a phenomenal pick. I don't care where he goes. I don't care what your depth is like on at the tight end position. A guy like that is going to make Joe Flacco a happy guy regardless. I mean, just having him in that room, having him be able to, he has a lot of versatility that I, like you kind of alluded to, I don't think that people really understand right now. His blocking ability, his availability to split out a little bit. He's going to be a matchup nightmare in the NFL. I totally agree with you. That's a fantastic pick.
Yeah, he's really going to be a matchup nightmare, like you said, because when you put a safety on him, he's a lot bigger in terms of height. You put a corner on for speed because he runs a 4.5, 140, and he's still a mismatch size-wise. Put a linebacker on him, he can't stay with him. So he's just if you have a creative offensive coordinator, or at least he's going to challenge an offensive coordinator's creativity, I think there's a lot of things that O.J. Howard can do at the NFL level. And like I said, I think he's going to be a guy who's going to be a better pro than he was a college player.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely love the pick. Thank you, Tony, for your time tonight, man. Guys, O.J. Howard is now finally off the board, and the Washington Redskins are now on the clock. Thank you guys for joining me again tonight. We're going to start our next episode on Monday. We'll be at pick 17. We'll run through pick 24. And then on Tuesday, we'll finish up the Locked On Mock Draft with picks 25 through 32. So thank you guys again for joining me. As always, rate and review the show. Subscribe on iTunes or anywhere else that you guys get podcasts. If you guys, any of you out there, small business owners or otherwise, you're interested in sponsoring the show, Locked On Colts is always ready for you. Give me a shout at LockedOnColtsPod@gmail.com. We'll make that happen for sure. You guys are growing this show exponentially every week. Every week we are getting more and more and more, and we're doubling shows at times and stuff like that. It's just fantastic. I appreciate all of you for all you've done. And thank you guys for joining me again. I mean, each and every day, it's fantastic. I love the input you guys are giving me, the calls and everything else. So I appreciate you, and I'm glad that you guys appreciate the show. And I'll do everything I can to continue to make this the best Colts show on any podcast directory. So thank you guys, and I'll talk to you all next week right here on Locked On Colts.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily podcast on the Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Napa Know How.
It's- takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.